going towards you.
Very nice. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is recorded in the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians, beginning with the first verse. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely of their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in the complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality, that the present time your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. Here ends the reading of our text, fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus. Our text for this morning is about stewardship and love and generosity and service and salvation. The historical context here is that Paul is writing to the churches at Corinth, and he's giving them the opportunity to participate in this offering for the saints, for the Christians at Jerusalem. Jerusalem had been under siege, and the saints there were very, very needy. They were starving. And so the churches at Macedonia, they pleaded even before this, let us be part of this, let us be part of this. Now the churches of Macedonia, Paul describes them as being a church in extreme poverty themselves. And yet, even from their extreme poverty, they gave richly in generosity. It was now the church at Corinth, the churches at Corinth, that were giving the opportunity now to participate in this offering. They were considered to be a very rich congregation in everything. Rich in faith, rich in speech, rich in knowledge, rich in their earnestness, rich in their love. They were a rich church also in material blessings. And so Paul is challenging them to make a generous gift for the saints in Jerusalem for this great need that was going on. But Paul, first of all, holds up to them the example of the Macedonian church. He holds this up to them, and he also holds this up to us today as an example. How this poor Macedonian church, how they could be and were so very generous in their giving. That they gave from their extreme poverty, that God work through them to well up in rich generosity, how they overflowed with joy and gave more than they were able to give, even begging, pleading with Paul to participate and to share in this need. Now, this service to the saints, this supporting others, this supporting the work of the church. Now, both of these churches, they could have given the same excuses that a lot of people give in regards to giving to their own congregation or giving to the district through mission gifts, giving to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, helping the service organizations. And they could have said something like, you know, we have our own mission here. We've got our own responsibilities. We've got our own obligations. We don't know what's going to happen here over the next year. We got to take care of ourselves. We don't even know how it's being run. In fact, you know, we don't like some of the things the way that they're running it. And these excuses can go on and on and on and on. How could the poor Macedonian churches, how could they make a most generous gift? And the answer is that they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to the church in keeping with God's will. They first gave themselves to the Lord. You know, it's so sad that many Christians never realize what's going on, what's really happening. They don't realize, and they never learn this joy of giving. They never realize this love of God that permeates their hearts and lives, or at least that's God's will for them. They never completely trust in the riches of God. That God has this wonderful grace and this love and this salvation that he's poured upon us in the adoption of sons through holy baptism, through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I went to seminary a number of years ago, and one of the things I wanted to learn at the seminary was what the purpose of life was. What's the purpose of life? You know, and I'm kind of a slow learner, and they may have taught it, and I didn't catch it. But anyway, I didn't learn that. You know, and you talk to people, what's the purpose of life? Well, sometimes they say goofy things like chocolate. Tell me, oh guru, you know, what's the purpose of life? Sometimes they'll say, well, you'll realize that at the end of your life, or your life is, you know, your purpose of your life is what you do. You know, you do this and do this. And people look at their purpose. And what does God want me to do? Well, the problem is that life is not per se, your purpose is not about doing. It's not about doing. You are human beings. You are not human doings. And your purpose comes from your being and not from your doing. I met a little girl. I used to be contract chaplain with the state in behalf of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at the Lincoln Developmental Center. That's been closed for a long time. But went there and ministered to the residents there. About 750 residents there at the time, profoundly disabled, and got to bring the joy of Jesus to them. And I met this little girl there. And this little girl was maybe 18 months old, I'm guessing. I was surprised she was still alive when I met her. Because this little girl was born profoundly disabled. She didn't have the capacity of thought process. But this little girl, 18 months old, also was born blind. And this little girl, in addition to being developmentally disabled, she was also blind and she was also deaf. She couldn't hear. And she was also mute. She never cried. She lay perfectly still, feeding tube down her nose. And that was her life. And she lived 18. Usually people get pneumonia, and, you know, if they lay still like that for that long. And I met this little girl, and I looked at her, and I realized that she has to have the same purpose I do. You see, people are looking for a purpose, an individual purpose. And that's just that old sinful nature that wants to make everything about me. But, you know, you look at these lights, and what's the purpose of that? What is that? That's a light. What's its purpose? To give light. What's that? That's a light. That's a light. That's a light. And they all have the same purpose. I hold up a pen. What's the purpose of this pen? Well, it's to write. Hold up this pen. What's the purpose of this pen? Well, it's to write, too. And I could hold up 1,000 pens, and the purpose of pens are to write. These are keys. What's the purpose of keys? To lock and unlock. Well, this one fits my pickup truck, and this one fits the house, and and you're human beings. And we all have the same purpose. That little girl had to have a purpose, and so her purpose had to be the same as mine and has to be the same as yours. And so what's your purpose? It wasn't going to be in what she did, because she was never going to make a peep her whole life. She was never going to move an inch. As you look at Scripture, God made Adam and Eve. And why did he make Adam and Eve? To tend the garden? No, he didn't make them to tend the garden. That was their function. That was what they did, but that wasn't their purpose, to tend the garden. All God had to say is, let there be, and there was. Okay. The purpose of Adam and Eve was the same purpose you have when you have children. You have children because you want to love them, have these beings that you love, and you hope that they would love you in return. You see, God's social. He's social himself. Father loves a son loves a father. They have intimacy. God chose to be social outside of himself, and so he made beings, angels and people, in order to have an intimacy with. And with Adam and Eve, they were life. Life means together, that God made them physically, body and soul together, but also together with him, spiritual life. They fell into sin, and sin separates. Another term for death. Another understanding, death is separation. Life is together, death is separation. So God came to Adam and Eve after they sinned. And he prayed a promise, and the promise was that they would be restored into this intimacy that he had originally created them with. And that would come through a seed of the woman. And through the seed of the woman, there's only way you have a seed of the woman is through a virgin birth. And so one born of a virgin would someday come to reconcile them to God. And the Old Testament all looks forward to this one coming who was the seed of the woman, one born of a virgin, that would reconcile a man to God. And of course, we know he came. His name was Jesus Christ. And he came and suffered on the cross for your sins and for my sins, for the sins of the world. He lived a holy life to fulfill all righteousness for us. And then he died to take away our sins. And God calls. He calls the gospel. He sends the gospel out. And this church is part of this mission to bring out the gospel to all people, to tell everybody about this love of God and the reconciliation that we have through Jesus Christ. How are we reconciled to God? Holy baptism. Scripture says what? To be born again of water and the Spirit. Now, a lot of people, when they talk about born again, they don't understand what they're talking about. They talk, I was born again. Well, I chose Jesus. I invited him in my heart. And I did this and I did that. The whole idea of born again. What does a baby do to be born? Nothing. And there's nothing that we can do to make God into our Father. Nothing we can do. But God has done it all. It's by grace. It's a free gift. And so Scripture says that we're to be born again of water and the Spirit. It's not what we do, but what God does. It's his grace. It's his love. It's his Holy Spirit. It's his word. It's his sacrament that he says, I love you, and I want you to be my child. I want to have this intimacy with you that's not just an intimacy on Sunday morning. It's not just an intimacy before you lay down at bed at night and say your prayers quickly. Not just an intimacy before you eat, but an intimacy of every day in your life. And your whole life comes out of this intimacy. God has fulfilled my purpose already in my baptism. Now how am I going to function? I am a child of God, so I'm going to function as a child of God. Whether you're father, mother, son, daughter, whether you're a worker, whether you're an employer, whether you're a citizen, whether you're playing golf, I don't care. You do so out of that purpose that God has fulfilled in you of being his child. I'm God's child. And here's this great love and everything that God shows us in Scripture, that he loves us. This holy meal that you're going to come to. The Lord's body and blood given and shed for you. See how much God loves you, that we remember also that Jesus suffered and died for our sins. What great grace God has shed upon us. When Jesus called his disciples, he said they are to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. Wonderful, wonderful words. To deny yourself means that my life is not about me. Those sound like strange words if you're not familiar with them. My life is not about me. I've denied myself. My life is about this relationship that God has established with me. My life is about the Lord and his glory and his honor. Now, he teaches me to pray, our Father in heaven. So we know we have this intimacy, but I deny myself. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. To take up your cross. A cross is a symbol of death. That's what it is, symbol of death. We oftentimes use a jewelry and nice pretty things. But it's a symbol of death. Take up your gallows. Take up your lethal injection. It means to die to self. Die to the world. That you live and have this intimacy, this connection with God. And then we follow Jesus. We follow him as our Lord, that he rules us. And so we don't pray, my will be done. God, my will be done. Okay, got it. No, we pray, thy will be done. Thy will be done. And that's why we search the scriptures to see, first of all this love that God has for us, and then how God would have us function. How God would have us work in our jobs and take care of our families and treat our neighbors. But it's all in love. It's all done in fellowship with God. It's all done in peace and joy and hope that comes from God. From God and to God. Love seeks to be a blessing. By nature, we're always looking for a blessing. What is in it for me? We like to manipulate, get people to do what we really want them to do. That's an old sinful nature. Love says, what's best for you? And this is what I want. Is what's best for you to be blessed. And that's what God wants for us. We learn that love from him, that even though Jesus was rich, yet for us he became poor. Even though he reigned in heaven, adored by the angels, yet he became a man to suffer and die on the cross, to be put to, at least they thought they were putting him to shame, but it was his glory. Now there are great needs. And you have needs in your family. Maybe a kid's going to college. Maybe you got some house payments and all those things. And we have needs. And part of stewardship is taking care of our families. And your neighbors have some needs. And part of stewardship is taking care of your neighbors. We're talking about 100% of what God has blessed you with. We're not talking about just what you're marking down on that card today. That's part of stewardship. We're talking about all of it. That as God's child, I get to be neighbor, and if my neighbor has a need, you know, I get to be a neighbor to them. I get to help them out of the love and the power and the grace of God at work in us. And so you look at your church, and your church has needs. You have to pay the light bills and all the other bills, pastor's salary and all the other salaries. You have to, you know, but don't count it as this burden. It's a joy to participate. Maybe when you were little, you had Sunday school offering. And you know, I got to put the dime in the Sunday school offering. All right. Or the plates passed in church, and I got to put the offering envelope into the church. You got to participate. And God allows you to participate in these wonderful ministries and these wonderful blessings. Your district, it has blessings. How can we be a blessing to each other? How can we make sure that the gospel gets out to the prisons and to the deaf people and mission opportunities, they're all over. Because there's needs there for people to be comforted with God's word and with the material that's necessary for life. Our Senate has needs. Who will give? Who will go? Who will love them? May you respond, here am I, send me, here's mine. You know, God's blessed me with this abundance, and so even out of my abundance, the Macedonian church gave out of extreme poverty. And so Paul challenges the church at Corinth, and he challenges this congregation today. Challenges you. And he says, compare your earnestness, compare your love with those around. Compare yourself to the Macedonian church. Compare yourself. I heard of a church in Macedonia that was suffering from extreme poverty, yet pleaded with the leaders of the church to allow them to make a generous gift to another church that was in need. That's love. It's earnestness of love. The grace of giving at work. I know a man who was born of a virgin who gave up his crown in heaven to live a holy life here in this earth in our behalf to fulfill all righteousness, who then gave his life as he died on the cross for my sins, for your sins, and for the sins of the world. Though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. And Jesus is his name. Test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of the Church of Macedonia. Compare your love and service with the earnestness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God has greatly blessed his people. Yet your church has needs. District has needs, Senate has needs, mission groups, LWML, different groups have needs. And God has given you his opportunity, his child, to participate in this wonderful blessing of the saints. I pray that the Lord will work in you, work in your heart, work his love and his faith and his joy, so that you too will excel in the grace of giving. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess together the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as printed in your worship folders. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated as our service now continues with our gifts and our offerings.